Well, good morning, everyone, and want to say happy Memorial Day weekend to you, and want to say what a privilege and honor and joy it is to be able to wake up this morning and draw breath in our lungs to be able to arise once more and worship our God and our King this morning. And again, we just stated that it's Memorial Day weekend, and tomorrow we'll be celebrating Memorial Day. And in light of those who have paid the ultimate price for the liberty that we enjoy in our country, and we have placed our flag to my right and to your left here at the pulpit because we just want to display what we're so proud of in our country. And so we want to say thank you to all those who have served and are currently serving in our country. Thank you for the ultimate sacrifice of giving of yourself and of your time, leaving your families behind, staying gone. You're giving your time that's not being replaced. Some of you perhaps have actually lost your loved ones in battle. And I actually read a post the other day that said, you know, for some of us, we celebrate Memorial Day once a year. But for some, they celebrate Memorial Day every day because their loved ones are actually passed on because they gave their life. And every day, they're reminded of that sacrifice. So thank you. Forgiven of your life for the likes of our freedom. Again, today's the Lord's Day, and we've come to worship and honor Him, and we count that an honor and a privilege. Thank you for joining us. Good morning, Calvary. We love you, and a lot of things are taking place today and have been in the last couple days. I sent out a column post. There's a few things I want to say in our introduction this morning, so just bear with me. And we have a special we're going to sing this morning, and then we'll bring the message in just a few moments. But we sent out a column post yesterday, and I mentioned it last Wednesday concerning reopening the church, and I want to just reiterate that again. And until we do open up the church, I want to say that we're going to be making several announcements and also several adjustments. We've never faced a pandemic before on this scale, at least in my lifetime. And so there will be several adjustments. So just bear with us and thank you for your patience. But we said last Wednesday, we said on our column post that on Sunday, June the 21st, 11 a.m., that will be our first Sunday back. And so we're rejoicing over that. So mark your calendars, church, for that. June 21st, Sunday, that will be our first Sunday back, and it will be Father's Day. We really feel like that'll be a great time to come back. A lot of things have transpired for the better, at least for Georgia. And what I mean by that is records show that lately we have flattened out as far as the coronavirus. And there's under 1,000 hospitalized. That's good. And a lot of people are getting better. And so we praise the Lord for that. Now, Governor Kemp, he has back before now, the president has recently made the move and has said that he wants all churches to go back and worship. And he's calling for governors to also be in move for that. But Governor Kemp has already done that. And so I'm just saying that the president is now for that. Governor Kemp has already said that. But we, as a church here at Calvary, we've been very, very, very cautious. So we've been doing Facebook Live since March with that, and rightfully so. We want to protect our people. We want to be careful. But saying that, the cases here in Georgia, there's under 1,000 in the hospitals. That's good. But saying all those things, we have to get back in church. People have to get back to work. And saying that, I want to say this. If you as an individual, a member of Calvary, if you do have pre-existing conditions, if you are elderly, please stay home. If you feel you need to stay home on June 21st, Sunday, stay home. We don't want you coming out with any kind of emotions of fear or taking a chance. You know, just stay home. And when you feel like you're beyond that barrier, then come out and be with us. Maybe you may be waiting on that shelter in place for the elderly to be lifted. And I believe that's coming soon. Then maybe then you can come out at that point. Or possibly you're not elderly, but you may feel like that's not a good date for you, June 21st, Father's Day. And we totally understand that as well. So you stay back if you feel you need to stay back at that time. I'll just say this, that on June 21st, Father's Day, that Sunday, we, as the leadership of the church and the deacons, which has we've all came together and they're my advisory, we just feel strongly led to open the doors of the church for Sundays only to move forward with this. But those who feel like they need to stay back, and the elderly, please, 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 we're not pushing you. We're not telling you, not wanting any kind of guilt trip. We just feel like that the time has come, and with the decrease of hospitalizations, is definitely the time to reopen the church. A couple more things along those lines is that it's going to be Sunday mornings only, and we feel that we're not going to stretch out the Sunday morning only thing for a long period of time. That's not necessary. As long as no one's getting sick, we feel that we're to do Sunday mornings only for 2 to 3 weeks only. And then we'll do Facebook Live Sunday night, Wednesday night. No Sunday school and no choir. But this is only going to be for 2 to 3 weeks, and that's it. As long as no one's getting sick and everything's fine, and then we'll have Sunday school back in, choir back in, Sunday night and Wednesday night. We're not going to stretch anything out. We're not going to make anybody suffer, or we don't want the church to be miserable. I miss church. I know you miss church. Everybody misses church. We want to be back at church. And so we want to do bare minimum so that everybody can be back in the house of the Lord and we can worship together. This has been far too long. And so, again, June 21st, that's going to be Father's Day, Sunday morning. And we will start at that time. And we'll have hand sanitizers at the entrances. It'll be a little different. We'll have pews marked at 6-foot increments. If you have a sizable family, please know this, that your family will have one place at one piece of tape. And then you may be a one person, a singular family, just you. You will have one piece of tape. And I really haven't worked out all of the details. We still have some more time. This may cause a problem of overcrowding, and everybody may not fit. And so we may have to do some booking. So I'll work on those details. But if you have a sizable family, you will sit on one piece of tape right at one piece of tape, and then 6 feet away, there'll be either a person or another family. And so we'll work on that. We have a little bit of time, so just bear with me. I do want to say one more thing, and then we'll mention a couple prayer requests. I put in the bulletin for this week that there'll be no nursery. I want to correct myself. I put that in there, and again, this is all new. These are uncharted waters. There'll be nursery, but this is my suggestion. This is my advising in this, that the church will purchase a temperature scanner for the forehead, and for every child that comes in the nursery, we need a nursery. For every child that comes, is that we will scan the forehead for a fever, and if the child doesn't have a fever, then you can stay. Of course, this is good for year-round, actually. And so that will be the only advisory there is for a forehead scan for the nursery. And so I want to put parents at ease concerning that so you can enjoy the Sunday morning services for the 2 or 3 weeks as we only do Sunday morning. All right, so be looking for more updates as we get closer to that time. And thank you for your patience, church. This has not been an easy task. We're trying to make it as least complicated as possible as we move forward to get back together to worship the good Lord. Please remember in your prayers, if you would, Brother Jamie Dickerson, as he gets closer to his appointment, open heart surgery, on June the 2nd. And also remember little baby Eddie. We've got some good news on him that he's doing better, but he still stands in need of prayer. This is Miss Jackie Henderson's great-grandson. All right, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer this morning. And we have a special song for you in light of Memorial Day. Heavenly Father, we take a moment to exhale, actually. So much going on. So much needs to be said. So much we haven't said. So many people to talk to. It would be so easy to just be caught up in the business side of ministry, God, that we would just miss you this morning. But God, let that not be the case. God, there are people this morning that have texted me that have said they are anxiously awaiting to hear from you. Wow. Amazing. How exciting. Father, I pray this morning that you would get me out of the way. God, you know about this current situation. Lord, you know that we're getting ready to reopen in June, and you know what needs to be done, the ins, the outs, and all the planning. And God, we already work so greatly together here at the church. There's nothing to worry about. So, Father, I'm just letting you do all that. This morning, God, there's people that need a word. And I feel, God, that you have impressed something upon my heart. Help me, Lord, clear my head. I do not want this allotted time for your word to go to waste. I want all of my heart, all of my mind, all of my soul to be used for you. And Father, this morning, Lord, we're so very thankful for those who have given their life physically for our land. Those, Lord, who have left and not come home. Lord, those who celebrate Memorial Day every day, whose mom or dad, God, are gone, who gave us freedom. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that price. Lord, we pray for Jamie Dickerson and his upcoming surgery, that you'd be with him in a very mighty way. Guide the hands of the doctors there. Touch them. Touch baby Eddie. Touch Calvary Baptist Church and all the members. Bless the singing now, and we'll bless you for everything you do. In Jesus' name we humbly pray. Amen.
Skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountain majesties above the fruited plain. God shed His grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. America, land that I love, stand beside her and guide her through the night with light from above, from the mountains to the prairies to the oceans wide with foam. God bless America, my home, sweet home. God bless America, my home, sweet.
What an honor to be able to come this morning to share a couple of songs with you today concerning our country. This is a wonderful weekend. I shared a few moments ago in our Sunday school class through Zoom that a lot of folks will share times with their family this weekend, and everybody thinks it's Memorial Day weekend. We got 3 days off, and that is great, and that is wonderful. But let us never forget the price, the cost that was given for this wonderful country in which we live. All gave some, but some gave all. And we are so thankful. It's more than a hot dog and a hamburger on Monday. It is truly memorial, and it is what we want to come this morning and try and share just a thought with you. I am so thankful for the country in which we live. I'm so thankful for the flag of which we honor and stand by today. The Lord has been so good to us. And regardless of everything that is going on, please remember this. God is still in charge. He is in control. Nothing has taken him by surprise. And it is still the name of Jesus of which we draw our strength. And we'll share a course with you this morning. We'll turn it back over to Pastor. That says, Jesus, Jesus, there is still something about that name. Jesus, Jesus, oh Jesus, there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, Jesus, sweet Jesus, let all heaven and earth proclaim. Will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Yes, there's something about that name.
Appreciate that singing this morning. Starting to feel like church again. Something about the name of Jesus. Have you ever been in a situation in your life where that's the only thing that you could do is say, Jesus, Jesus, help me. I've been there before. And I want to say that that works every time. Jesus, save me. I did that when I got born again. And then there's been several times where I've said since then, Jesus, help me. Let's take our Bibles this morning for a few moments and turn to the Old Testament book of Exodus. Exodus chapter number 13. Exodus chapter number 13, if you would, for a few moments. I like having this flag right here by me. I feel safe. don't know. It's different. I'd love to have the Christian flag on this side. I feel really secure then. Exodus chapter number 13. I want to begin reading this morning in verse number 17. I preached this message probably a couple years ago, and I preached it one other time at the first church that we pastored before, and it really has helped me. And when we read the verses, I want to comment specifically on the beginning part of this sermon. And when I do, I want you to focus specifically in the beginning part of this message, because it holds everything together of what I'm going to say, and it will carry the impact throughout the message. So I really want you to get in the beginning what I'm trying to say. Exodus chapter number 13. Notice, if you would, in verse number 17. Exodus 13, 17. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham, edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night, and took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. That's finishing out chapter number 13 this morning. And again, that's reading from verse number 17 all the way through verse number 22. This morning we have in these verses, this chapter, Pharaoh, the slave driver, having afflicted the people of God for so many years. Of course, the leadership in that Pharaoh position having changed over the years, but we know that 430 years at least was the slavery conditions having continued, and now having ended, Pharaoh having let God's people go. Now God, by the hand of Moses, begins to lead his people out of Egypt unto the promised land. And this is known as the Exodus. This is known as the Exodus. We have the book of Exodus here. This is God, by the hand of Moses, leading his sheep Israel out of Egypt into Canaan land. It's called an Exodus, out of and into. And so this is what we have taking place. Pharaoh having let God's people go. And we know all of the things that took place, the plagues that were taking place. And we know the death angel, and we know that the blood that was applied to the doorpost and all the preparatory work that was taking place and all of that and that had to be done. And so now Pharaoh let God's people go, and Moses is leading them out of Egypt. And so now they begin walking. I want you to notice something in verse number 17. As they begin their way out of, God chooses a certain route. He says in verse number 17, "And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines." Notice this, although that was near. How about that? I found that amazing the very first time that I saw this verse. And that really spoke to my heart. Because the very first time I read that, I actually started questioning God. "Wait a minute, God. Your people have been in Egyptian bondage for all of those years. Hard slavery. And now finally they're allowed to go. They're leaving by the hand of Moses. Pharaoh had let them go. And now the way to Canaan land is a very near way through the land of the Philistines." We're talking about a week's journey. It is a very near way. And yet God says, "No, don't go that way. It's a week's journey." And we all know the years that it took for them to actually get into Canaan's land, at least 40 years. At least 40 years. So we have 40 years here, but then we have over here on this side, we have like 7 days. And God could have gotten on the front end of it and led them 7 days through the land of the Philistines. And so when I the very first time I seen these verses, I had to pray about this thing, and I said, "Lord, why in the world did you not lead them the short way?" Well, as I got to studying this, it became very clear why. And so this morning I want to try to explain the reasons why God doesn't give shortcuts. Because, you see, there are some reasons why in life that God doesn't give shortcuts. He says again in verse 17, "And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, they returned to Egypt." You see, God wasn't being mean or cruel or unkind. He had a reason, church. And so this morning, with that said, I want to preach for a few moments on why God doesn't give shortcuts. Why God doesn't give shortcuts. You may be listening this morning, and you may have some prayers you possibly may need answered. There may be some things in your life that you may be going through a second time, a third time, a fourth time, a fifth time, a sixth time, a seventh time, and you're wondering, why so many times? Lord, why don't you just give me a shortcut and get me to my destination? Well, there's reasons why. There's things in my life I wish that God would just open up a side door. Just allow me just to go right in so that I can just say that I'm there and I can get my T-shirt and I could just wear it so everybody can see that I've mastered this in my life so I can move on to the next thing. But the truth be told, there's some lessons that I need to learn. Justin Hales needs to learn. Truth be told, if God were to take me the easy route this morning, there's some things that I wouldn't learn. The truth be told this morning, there are some things that I don't want to learn. There's some things this morning that I wish that God would just allow me to walk through that door that I don't have to master. Because I don't like learning some of the things I keep failing at. There's some things this morning that I struggle with that I don't like learning. Do you? Huh? You remember Peter in the New Testament? Peter, he denied the Lord. And then he went out and wept bitterly. Do you think that was an easy situation for him? Do you think that was an easy thing for Peter? No, it wasn't. But Peter, he, in the very beginning, they were all assembled together. And Jesus was going, you know, he was making his way around the table and he was talking. And he said, one of you is going to deny me. Peter said, not me, Lord. I will be with you to the very end. I won't deny you. Oh, Peter, you will. Before the cock crows three times, you'll deny me. And that is the very thing that Peter did. He denied the Lord. And the Bible says that before he actually did that the third time, Peter went out and he wept bitterly. Listen, there are some things in my life, and I am sure this morning, being imperfect people, there are some things in your life that you wish that you could just open the door and walk through and be done with it. But truth be known this morning, God does not give shortcuts because there are some learning curves. And one of the biggest learning curves in the history of mankind is the 40 years in the wilderness that God had the children of Israel on. Listen, God could have brought them the easy way through the land of the Philistine. 7 days they could have been in Canaan land. It was the nearest way. But God doesn't give shortcuts. Number one, I'll give you one reason why. Why God doesn't give shortcuts. Number one, they're detrimental. Why does God not give shortcuts? They're detrimental. Look in verse 17. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines. Although that it was near, listen, for God said, lest peradventure the people repent, that is God's people, repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. Let me ask you a question, church. God's people being in Egyptian bondage over 400 years, do you think they were ready for battle? I mean, listen, they were making that mortar and brick. They had the whips and chains to their backside. They had Pharaoh telling them that they were good for dead. They had Pharaoh's men telling them that God didn't love them. They had all them people on their backs. They had all, listen, their self-esteem was under their feet. Do you think them people were ready to face Goliath? No. God, listen, God did not think they were ready for war. The easy way, 7 days to Canaan land. But God said, you're not ready for the short way. You're not ready for war. You're not ready to go that way. Some of you this morning would love to go that way. Some of you this morning would love to face some of those battles you think you're ready to face. And God is not leading you through that door. God is closing some doors in your life this morning. And you might say within yourself, oh, I can face those battles. Oh, I can face those challenges. But for some reason or the other, that door is not opening in your life. Why is that? Because some of the battles you have now, you're not winning. Some of the things you're facing now, you're not winning. How in the world are you going to face some more giants in your life? Listen, God led them not through the land of the Philistines. Look what he says in verse 17. about middle ways down. He says, for God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and return to Egypt. In other words, if God were to lead them through the land of the Philistines, they would be marching like this. All right, we're on our way to Canaan. Marching through. Oh my goodness, what is that? What are they doing? Look at them men. Oh my. Whoa, look at that giant. Whew. We shouldn't even have left the world. Oh, these battles are too big for us. Let's go back. Let's go back. They're walking through there. We only got 7 days and we're home free, but oh my goodness, these battles are too big. Let's go back. Let's go back. Let's go back. You know what that is? That is God protecting his people. I think about in life so many times. So many times God sparing us of unanswered prayer. God sparing us of unanswered prayer. So many times we think we want to go through certain doors. And we say, oh God, I can handle this big ministry. Oh God, I can handle that big job over there. Oh God, I can handle this big deal down the road here. But God doesn't answer that prayer. He doesn't take you down that road. Why is that? Because there's big battles down there. Listen, you couldn't handle that right now in your life because you are already downtrodden now. You just came out of bondage now. Listen, the children of Israel were in Egyptian bondage over 400 years in their life. There's no way they could face giants right now. Shortcuts can be detrimental. God is not in the business of taking us the easy route because it can be harmful for you, especially if you're not spiritually strong right now. If you are at a place where you're not spiritually strong, God is not going to hasten your spiritual journey. He will slow you down and take you the long way and lead you by still waters. Do you get that this morning? Still waters. He will cause life to stop for you. He will lead you to green pastures. Listen, church, you want things to be fast in your life. You want that big raise at work. And you want that new car and possibly that new home. But listen, the spiritual man has to be first. The spiritual man has to be built up. Because with that big house comes financial responsibilities. With that new car comes debt. And with all of those things comes responsibility. And that spiritual man has to be able to withstand those things, being responsible. The spiritual man has to be wise. God is not going to hasten you along if that spiritual man is not built. What he'll do is he'll lead you by the still waters first. He will allow you to lay down in green pastures. He will feed you spiritually. You see, the people of God were beat down. They were told they were no good. They were in slavery. Their self-esteem was gone. Why would God throw them to the wolves? He's the good shepherd, church. Why would a good God? Why would a good father? Oh, it may be convenient to take them the easy way, to get them home. But if he cared for his people, it wouldn't be about convenience. If he cared for his people, it'd be all about health. If he cared for his people, it'd be all about protection. Listen, this morning, we serve a God that cares about our health spiritually. He's not worried about our comfort. He's not so much our comfort and getting to somewhere quick and be, oh, I'm done with them rascals. Oh, children of mine. Oh, redhead stepchild. No, listen. He's all about our health spiritually. He's all about our protection. Listen, if there's something you're wanting to do in life and it lines up with His good will, He's all for it. But if it does not line up, and if we're praying amiss, but that we may consume it upon our own lust, listen, He will close that door. You will not go through that door because you're asking it and it's not in accordance to His will. Bible says the shortcuts are detrimental. People of God, we're coming out of Egyptian bondage. Listen, if there were Christian counselors back then, that's the first place they would be at. Because of the psyche problem, they were slaves. Their self-esteem was under their feet. And now they were to go to the promised land. And God said in verse 17, and it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they returned to Egypt. The people just weren't ready to fight. God does not answer certain prayers, and He closes doors in our life because we are only ready and capable for certain battles. Listen, God protects us. He protects us from things in life. Shortcuts can be detrimental. Why God doesn't give shortcuts? Because shortcuts can be detrimental. But number two, shortcuts do not bring discernment. Look at verse number 20. And they took their journey. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar by fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. You see, after this first way God directed them, God redirected them. He didn't lead them through the land of the Philistines because it would be nothing but war and giants. It was the quickest way, so He redirected them. And in verse number 21, the Bible says that He pitched a cloud during the day, and that Moses would see that cloud, and wherever that cloud was during the day, Moses would follow that cloud. And the children of Israel would follow Moses. And it would become apparent that they were all following the cloud. And at nighttime, there'd be a pillar of fire. And it'd be apparent that the children of Israel would say, well, Moses is following the fire at night. We're following the Lord. You see, if God would have given the shortcut through the land of the Philistines, then this discernment of following God's leadership would have been bypassed. Do you understand that? Verse number 21, because God did not give them this shortcut of 7 days, they gained something. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud. Look, to lead them the way. Listen, church. God doesn't give shortcuts, but there's something gained because of that. What do we gain? We gain discernment on how to follow God. In these particular verses, God didn't give them a shortcut, but he gave them a cloud. And it was these 40 years that Moses watched the cloud. Each and every day. The children of Israel watched Moses, and they all gazed at the cloud. And it was each and every day they woke up and seen the cloud. And they, where are we going today, God? Where are we going today? I'm sure some days were sunny. They followed the cloud. I'm sure some days were dark and dreary, but they followed the cloud. I'm sure some nights were cold, and that fire was there to keep them warm, and they followed that fire. I'm sure some nights were hot. Guess what? They still followed the fire. You see, sometimes in life, God does not give shortcuts, but there's something gained out of that. And what it is that's gained is that God teaches us how to follow him. Thank God that God doesn't give shortcuts. Because if God gave shortcuts, we wouldn't know how to follow him when it gets cold in life, when we don't know what to do in life, and we're cold on the inside, and it seems like God is nowhere to be found. Yet he teaches us to go after him. He teaches us in a dry and barren land where our soul is thirsty, we learn how to follow him, and we learn where to look for him, and we learn how to search for a servant, and we learn how to pray for him, and we learn how to be happy when we're miserable, and we learn, and we learn, and we learn. All because God doesn't give shortcuts. So we see this morning why God doesn't give shortcuts. Shortcuts do not bring discernment. Again, if you look on surface level in verse 17, it almost looks unkind. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. That's why you got to keep reading. Number one, he tells us why they would have repented. Why God doesn't give shortcuts? It's detrimental to our spiritual lives. There's battles out there we're not ready for. Number two, in verse 21, why God doesn't give shortcuts? Because it doesn't bring discernment. God wants to teach us how to follow him in the night seasons. He keeps us warm. He wants to teach us how to follow him all along the day, when it's sunny days, when it's cloudy days. Number three this morning, why God doesn't give shortcuts? Because shortcuts do not present the need for deliverance. Notice in chapter number 14, Israel is on their exodus. They are out of Egypt. Pharaoh had let the people go momentarily. The Lord did not allow Moses to lead them through the land of the Philistines, although it was near. And so he led them the long way. And we know that he is now guiding them with the cloud by day, the fire by night. And now we arrive in chapter number 14 and we have a problem. We are now at the Red Sea. And I want you to notice in verse number 13, now God has hardened Pharaoh's heart. He has hardened Pharaoh's heart. If you don't believe me, it says so in verse number 8, chapter 14. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Believe what you want to believe. I believe God was creating a miracle for Moses and the Israelites, a personal miracle for them to believe in himself. Nonetheless, we are at the Red Sea. This cloud had led them here. Again, this cloud had led them here. the Lord had redirected them from going straight into Canaan, 7 days' journey through the land of the Philistines, although it was near. This cloud had redirected them the long way. They're at the Red Sea. Why God doesn't give shortcuts? Because shortcuts do not present the need for deliverance. Look at verse number 13. They are now at the Red Sea. Pharaoh is drawing nigh. Pharaoh wants him to die. Pharaoh wants to kill. Verse number 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of it. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me, honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall I know that I am, and the Egyptians shall I know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. Look at verse 21. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Verse number 31. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. You say, what is all that? Many times, what do we want to do? We want to go the short way. We want to go the easy way. We want to go the quick way, don't we? Well, God takes us the long way sometimes in life. And when he does that, he has plans of showing us our need for deliverance. Our need for deliverance. He could have allowed them to go through the land of the Philistines and been there 7 days. But he didn't do that. He took them the long way, the cloud by day, the fire by night, and they were at a dead end. There may be someone listening, watching this morning, and you may be at a dead end. But let me just say this morning. God knows all about it. He can divide your situation in a moment's notice, just like he did Moses. You see, God doesn't give shortcuts because shortcuts do not present the need for deliverance. And so God wants us to gain experience by presenting difficulties. Something else I want to show you this morning. God doesn't give shortcuts. Why doesn't God give shortcuts? Well, in chapter number 15, shortcuts do not bring times of desperation. Times of desperation. The other Wednesday night, I had mentioned something about the bittersweet experience. In chapter number 15, the chapter actually begins with the song that Moses and the children of Israel were singing in verse number 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. And so this entire chapter is spent here praising God for the Red Sea experience. But as you continue, the song stops in verse number 21. And you find out in verse number 22 that the group is now thirsty, probably from singing. Verse number 22, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. They were thirsty from singing. Notice something else. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. What we have here, we have the bittersweet experience. You see, sometimes in life we have this bittersweet experience. And what we have, again, we have that God doesn't give shortcuts. He could have led the children of Israel 7 days into the promised land, but he took them the long way. But you see, shortcuts do not bring times of desperation. And you see, as a believer, it's imperative that we come into these seasons of desperation. I don't like these times of desperation. I don't necessarily like these bittersweet experiences. I don't necessarily like these Gethsemane times. You can understand what I'm talking about. You remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he was bearing the weight of the world, the weight of sin upon his shoulder. His time had come, and he was struggling in the flesh. He knew his purpose. He was the God-man. But yet he looked into that cup of suffering. He said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not mine will, but thine will be done. You see, there comes times in life where we are struggling in the flesh. We're wrestling with God. We don't want to do his will because we have other plans in life. We got things we're struggling with, and we don't want to do those things. And so we have to come to the nevertheless moment. That's what this place was, Marah. They had no water. They had parched souls. But you see, sometimes in life, as Christians, it's necessary to experience having a parched soul. Because if you don't experience having a parched soul, you don't appreciate the enjoyments of spiritual water. Oh, taste and see the goodness of the Lord. I want to tell you something, church. Living a life of sin, don't know Jesus, don't have joy within, and then you come to a place and you hug the cross of Calvary, you ask him to come into your life and save you, and you get gloriously born again. There is no greater love and joy in this world than being born again from above. Then you start living for him and serving him and you realize you're still on planet Earth, and you come to these places of Mara where your soul is parched and this world is ungodly, and you're just dry and you're thirsty and you're struggling, and God isn't taking you the short way in life, and you're wrestling and you feel like no one loves you, and you need a helping hand and nobody's helping you. But then somewhere along the way comes Jesus and he helps you. It's so fulfilling. But it didn't happen the short way. You see, notice something. In verse number 25. Verse 24, then 25. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink? Moses, you the one that led us here. I knew that wasn't God in that cloud. That was just a cloud. You led us here. We can't drink. What are we going to drink?" Here's Moses. "Oh, God. God says, "Son, look at that tree over there. Look at that tree." Moses gets up. He gazes at that tree. As I think about that, it's like it makes sense, you know. And the Bible says in verse 25, "And he cried unto the Lord. The Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet." So Moses cried unto the Lord. The Lord showed him a tree. Let me just say this to any preachers, teachers that may be watching. It's good to cry to the Lord. And if he ever shows you a tree, that's all you need. But he showed him a tree, and Moses cast that tree into the waters, and those bitter waters were made sweet. As a believer, we struggle. Our souls begin to be parched. All we have to do is apply the cross, appropriate Jesus. "Jesus, help me." He'll make our bitter waters sweet. One more thing, and we're through, I promise. Very next chapter. Why does God not give shortcuts? I'll tell you why. Shortcuts do not allow you to experience daily provisions. Chapter 16, verse 35. "And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land inhabited." They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. I'm telling you, they ate manna. They ate manna. They ate manna pudding. They ate it, and they ate it, and they ate it. Guess what? They ate so much manna, they probably had, I don't know, a trophy manna made and put it on the nightstand. Listen. What is that? What is 7 days compared to 40 years? 7 days, 7 days is not enough time to prove faithfulness, is it? 40 years is enough time to prove faithfulness. You know what God is doing in your life and mine? You know why God isn't accomplishing a whole lot in your life in 7 days? What is he doing over a longer period of time in your life? Why is things taking a long time? Why is that prayer going? Why do you think God is not answering that prayer in your life? He is, not that he has to, but he has proven himself faithful. He's doing something behind the scenes. What is he doing? He is daily providing. What is he doing? He's allowing you to become desperate so that you can call out to him. What is he doing? What's going on? He is setting up you for deliverance. What's taking place? He is allowing you to follow him in leadership. What's taking place? Well, if he were to answer your prayer right now, there may be some giants behind that door you're not ready to fight. Give him a little more time. Give him a little more time. God doesn't give shortcuts. Give some time to work. Father, we We love you. We thank you. We praise you. I pray that you take the message and apply it to the heart that needs it the most. And again, we just love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. This is our virtual invitation. If you need to come and pray at your living room, you do so.